Golf Smarter number 161 for January 13, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Fit for golf, fit for life with Mindy Boysen.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. May I be frank with you for just a moment? I've been doing whatever it takes to keep the Golf Smarter podcast alive, and in the past, we've survived on sponsorships. As far as I'm concerned, that's still the business model that works best for us and for you, especially if I can provide you with advertisers that add value to your golf life and are relevant to the content of our shows. According to both iTunes and Google, Golf Smarter is the most popular golf podcast today, and I'm humbled and quite grateful for that. Unfortunately, internet celebrity is quite different from what our society is accustomed to. Internet celebrity may be fame, but fortune is an entirely different beast. So, if you enjoy our shows and find value in the information we deliver, tell your friends about us. And if you can make an introduction to a viable golf company that would find value in talking to the largest golf podcast audience in the world, click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com and I'll take it from there. Thanks so much for listening. Now, today's guest has just returned from the World Golf Fitness Summit, and I wanted to get an update as to the future of golf fitness and get some tips for our off-season exercise as well. Mindy Boysen is a certified TPI fitness instructor, can be seen regularly on Golf America on Fox Sports Net, and has a series of videos called Fit for Golf, Fit for Life. Her website is fitforgolfusa.com. Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Mindy.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm very excited about having you. We've been talking for a long time. We've been communicating via email, and you sent me your three DVDs that I've been using. Thank you very much.
Good for you.
I appreciate that. But before we talk about the fitness and your DVDs and how important it is to golf, you just returned from the World Golf Fitness Summit, and I would love to get a report from you on what it is and what went on.
Okay. Well, first of all, it was fabulous.
That's good.
More than I ever imagined, actually. This was my first one, and I've heard that it is the third annual, but what they're going to do is start having it every 2 years, and they're going to have a different world conference every other year in between. So the next one will be in 2010, and we don't know where it will be. But
where was this one?
The World Golf Summit this year was in Anaheim, right beside Disneyland at the Convention Center.
Okay. Yeah, I know where that is. And how many people attend this?
Well, at the very beginning, our keynote speaker, Dr. Greg Rose, who is one of the co-founders of TPI, which is Titleist Performance Institute, mm-hmm. He ran this whole event, and it's sponsored by TPI. He stood up and told us that there were approximately 400 people the first day and then 450 the other 3 days because the first day was dedicated just to those people who were certified through TPI. So I think okay. We had about 450 for the weekend that were their attendees representing approximately 16 countries.
Wow.
Yes. And very impressive. I had a few gentlemen from Holland sitting in front of me, and I think a person from Korea sitting behind me. So, and a lot of the presenters, I think they said the presenters represented 10 countries just on their own, and there were about 50 presenters.
And how long is the summit?
It was 4 days. It was four very long days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday went from about 6:30 in the morning if you wanted to get there early and take some workouts. They ended at 5:00 each day.
No, I got to believe if it's the World Golf Fitness Summit that the workouts are well attended. These are all fitness junkies, right?
You know, it's not a fitness convention. That's funny you say that because...
Well, wait a minute. Isn't it called the World Golf Fitness Summit?
Yes.
And it's not a fitness?
Golf fitness. Meaning golf is a sport.
Yeah.
And you have to be fit from the inside out. But it doesn't mean that all of the people there were definitely workout addicts or... or and I'm not by no means am I implying that they weren't fit or they weren't work, they did not work out, but they were you know, the vendors that were selling some things, and they had some wonderful vendors, kind of gave us a demonstration each morning of what their product was and how to get a workout from it and how it could be related to the world of golf. But as far as golf fitness is concerned, for the summit, golf fitness can go into the medical field, meaning chiropractors, massage therapists, physical therapists, you know, working on the spine, over to the actual golf professionals, people who teach the fundamentals of the golf game too.
Oh, okay. So this is a TPI event, and that's Titleist Performance Institute. And we've had Lynn Anderson was another TPI certified instructor that's been on our show. So it's mainly just a TPI certified group.
Actually, it's not.
Oh boy, I'm so
actually,
confused.
Actually, it's not. to put it simply, the way they explained it to us, the very first day is dedicated only to TPI certified people.
Okay.
So that was the day where Greg Rose and Dave Phillips and Lance Gill, who are the three founders or the team of people that work together for the Titleist Performance Institute.
And we've seen them regularly on the Golf Channel, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Those are the three you see quite often, and they are the hosts.
Okay.
They did a great job pretty much explaining the state of the union of TPI, if you will, the very first day, congratulating all of us, letting us know that we are in a very elite group. And TPI, which is the Institute, has come up with a very exclusive screening to assess people without guessing anymore, to see what is going on with their golf swing and their body. So they dedicated Thursday, the very first day of the summit, to just us. And what I found out, you know what I found out, Fred, was there are 1,900 of us that are certified through Titleist across the world.
Wow.
Now, 400 were there.
Okay.
So 1,900 are certified, and I think we represent about 31 countries. So I was very impressed by that. I mean, they're hopping
impressive.
And skipping and jumping all around the world from different countries and continents to spread the word of TPI and their health screenings and, you know, how to assess people a little bit better.
So what are the things over 4 days that are covered in the World Golf Fitness Summit? Now I'm changing the way I say it. I thought it was the World Golf Fitness Summit, but now it's the World Golf Fitness Summit.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, there are different tracks because the audience was so broad, and I sat there in some of these seminars thinking, "Oh my gosh, this is so over my head." For example, it would be an hour and a half or an hour lecture on things to do correctively with the spine and the vertebrae and the discs and that's a little bit beyond. I mean, that's a physical therapist, chiropractor. It's a little beyond fitness. But then when I looked around and I saw golf pros, I thought, ooh, if this is beyond me, I know it's way beyond them. Then I can go to another one that was more on the fitness and nutrition track for golfers, and it was right up my alley. And I felt great. I thought, boy, I already know this stuff. But, oh, I can see why a chiropractor beside me might be sitting in on this, or I could see why a golf pro is learning. So kind of what it is if you're a fitness person like myself, you might not go to the fitness track because you should already know it. You want to learn more about the golf swing, or you want to learn more about ways to work on the hip a little bit better from a physical therapist standpoint, something that's already needing to be corrective.
Right.
If you're a golf pro and you know the swing and you know all the styles of the swing and you know all about 3D techno stuff, you may be very curious about going to the fitness part or, you know, basic fundamentals of the body. So it's very interesting. We got to choose our tracks. So
oh,
we really
cool.
got to pick and choose. And if I walked into a room, I thought, oh, no, this is not going to be for me, then I could walk out and choose another one. And that was probably the bonus of the weekend.
Without being totally embarrassed by it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, oh, look, she's leaving.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Why are you leaving? Come back in here. You're supposed to.
And they weren't the least bit offended.
Oh, that's good.
a lot of times you had four choices. So say from 1:30 to 2:30, there were four different presenters or speakers. Maybe one was nutrition. I know Dr. Robert Yang was there, and he was wonderful about some new concepts and new ideas in nutrition. But then maybe there is, Dave Phillips, who's a golf professional, talking about one plane, two plane mm-hmm. versus stack and tilt. Well, I would love to go see both of those. What do I do?
Yeah.
So that was kind of the dilemma, and they knew that, but we had to make a choice.
Yeah. Well, this is really interesting. And I can, we've had people on before, and I like to talk about fitness for golf. And I like to talk swing mechanics, and I like to talk to chiropractic. I mean, I like to get all different aspects of it. It's interesting that they have wound these all up together in a teaching method.
Yes.
How stupid question from this part, but I'll let you play with it. How is this relevant to the average golfer?
Okay, I can definitely play with that.
Thank you. I teed it up for you, nice and high.
Thank you. I'm going to hit this one out of the park. All right. TPI takes a team approach. In fact, we are required to have a team. If we are going to be part of the TPI website and represent them, then we need to represent a team. The average golfer should be out there. I take that back. The average golfer, it depends on what they're working on. If the golfer wants to get better, then they've got to look at all aspects of their game. You can go out there and get an instructor and pay so much money every week. And I've actually just had a client this morning who literally has the money and the funds for an instructor every single week.
Hmm.
He has a lesson, which means he doesn't let his fundamentals go. He wants to make sure that if he has a lesson on Monday, and if he golfs 3 to 5 days of that week and practices, that he's practicing the right thing by the next Monday, so he gets better and better and better. So that's why we need a golf pro. I've worked my way down to a 14 handicap from way up, in the high 20s, but it's because I don't practice and my fundamentals aren't always great. I can't get that much lower because I need to really practice and I need to focus on having an instructor more often. Unfortunately, I'm working, so mm-hmm. I don't have the luxury right now at my age. But then there's the person who, for example, my client today, finally came to an instructor and said, I'm not getting any better. I may be a 4, I may be an 8, I may be a 12. My fundamentals are great. I'm going to see a golf pro every week. Here's my video. Here's what my swing looks like. Why am I not getting better? And that's what I love, because it's a blank slate, and I can take them through the TPI screening. And, I've gone through half the screening going, wow, this guy's perfect. This person's perfect. Wow, what's wrong with him? Is there anything wrong with him? How can I help? And then, bam, there's some test or some assessment. It's like, whoa, it just screamed out at me. Where I can say, your left internal hip rotation is like a 20, where it should be up to about a 45. Do you happen to slide in your golf swing? And they say, yes, I do. We just I put my finger on the button and found out
really?
Exactly what it was. It's amazing, Fred. I mean, it really, really is.
And how often do you find in situations like this that the culprit is lack of flexibility?
Very much so.
Really?
May not be.
Even with somebody who's got all the fundamentals down on their swing and they can, they're a 4, they're a 5, but they could get that much better if they worked on their body a little bit more?
I would say if they're, but the bottom line is, can they get the club face square impact? And a lot of times it really doesn't matter what the swing looks like anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really going into deciding whether the swing is efficient. No matter what it looks like, if it's efficient and you have consistent scores and you're happy with that, then you stay. You don't fix what's not broken.
Right.
But if you start having issues where, gosh, I got a tinge in my back or a twinge in my back, or boy, I'm getting shorter off the tee even though I'm not in pain. Wonder what that's from. That's where these screenings take place, and we try to figure this out.
Not everybody's going to swing like Tiger or Phil or Annika. Everyone's going to have an individual swing, but there are things that I guess that can be worked on, can be figured out when you have that team approach that TPI demands that can help you assess what it is that you really should be working on so you can be comfortable with your own swing, right?
Exactly. And I like, I, I'm, I'm glad that TPI and more people are becoming TPI certified so we can get a very good team. Again, for example, the person that came to me today came from a golf professional, golf teacher, that knew about me and knew about my screenings. So I screened the gentleman this morning. He really wasn't in any pain. Now, had he been in pain, for example, if his low back really hurt and his hip was really super tight, and if I couldn't help him, I would then refer him to rehabilitation or a physical therapist or, heck, even a chiropractor, because it's a little bit beyond just fitness. He needs some serious corrective exercises. So that's how we all work together, something medical. And it may be even just a massage. And I talk to some of my clients and I say, have you ever had a massage before? Because you are so, not necessarily that they're tight, but they're wound up by a knot.
Yeah.
You can't stretch a knot.
If you're offering massage, I'm ready for one right now.
I could probably find someone. That's not my scope of practice.
Okay. Well, that's the team approach.
That's right. It's a team approach.
Yeah, nice passing of the buck. So,
you know, my scope of practice.
But, you know, I'm not telling Dr. Rose and Dave Phillips and Lance, I'm not telling them, you know, how to do their thing. Obviously, they've got it figured out, and they've got a large group of people who are ascribing to their thing. But what about the mental aspect of the game? Is that not covered in TPI?
You know, I wrote a summary or an evaluation of the summit this year. That's the one thing I didn't see, and I was shocked. And a few of my other colleagues that were there that stayed with me said the same thing. That, you know, we really didn't hear much about the mental game.
Mm.
Now, I take that back, because I know that Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen from Vision 54 are very much into the mental part.
Oh, my gosh, yes. They've both been on the program.
Right.
They've both been on
Golf Smarter. And I didn't see them, but I think they talked about some other things, too. But I have a feeling by next year, because you can only fit so much in, that there will be some strategies. Some different approaches to calming someone. They touched on it from a fitness standpoint. They touched on it from a mind-body connection, meaning can you focus on your breathing? Breath was huge this year. Every single person seemed to talk about relaxing your body, curing your body, getting more oxygen in by just really focusing on your breath.
Wow.
And being more self-aware of what's going on inside your body. But they didn't have a sports psychologist there. There was not a psychiatrist there saying, these are my strategies, when it just gets so deep that someone has a putting yip, or a tipping yip.
Sure.
You know, what do you do when there's a yip? And I can't say that I saw that.
Or just beating yourself up after a bad shot, or walking up to a hole knowing that you've had trouble with that hole in the past, and letting that control your thoughts. I also want to mention, you know, you talked about Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott of Vision 54, and they have both been on the Golf Smarter podcast, and I highly recommend, and that's what I love about podcasts, if you've not heard those episodes, you should definitely go back and listen, because those were great, and not because of what I had anything to do with, but just the content that they delivered was really fabulous.
Right. Well, and you know who else I really like is Joe Parent.
Oh, Dr. Joe.
Yes, Dr.
Absolutely.
Joe.
Zen Golf. He's been on four times, actually.
Yep. Yeah. Great book.
Big fan of his. Big fan of his.
Maybe we'll see him there next year.
Exactly. Or Michael Anthony, who does our Golf Smarter tips. He's our mental guru for that. Or Dr. Bob Winters of, I don't know if he would, because he's part of Ledbetter. And he's going to be on again soon, too. He's been on before. Now, what about nutrition? How much was covered in nutrition in a round of golf during the World Golf Fitness Summit?
A lot, actually, and a lot for not just on the golf course, but off the golf course as well, because we live in a country right now that people just aren't quite getting it, and there's enough information out there that they should. We're not even a mediocre country as far as our eating. It's just plain bad, you know, stereotypically, it really is. Then there are the people that kind of, I hate to say go off the deep end, but really go so far to organic and certain vitamins and minerals and supplements, and you know, where's the happy medium too?
Right.
So there were we stayed one night. Was it Friday or Saturday? we stayed one night and where everything ended at 5, and I think we had a nutrition Q&A panel that went on for probably another hour and 15 minutes with four great, I think one dietitian, nutritionist, doctors, that a couple of them had their own books, maybe their own supplements as well, that really talked about where nutrition is going as far as the golfer is concerned.
Yeah, let's focus back to the golfer here and a round of golf, because I think that, you know, I mean, I appreciate that they have a snack shack at the turn and you can grab a hot dog, but I think it's terrible.
It is.
I know that when I was eating at the turn and, you know, shoving something down my face or my pie hole, shoving something in my pie hole at the turn, that the next three or four holes I would just collapse.
Yeah.
And that since I've been doing this sip and nibble routine, which is I just have a 3-ounce bag of nuts that gets me through an entire round and one or two bottles of water and just a little bit after every other shot or every shot, I'm just so much more consistent, and the wheels don't fall off the wagon.
Well, it's because you're eating consistently and you're drinking consistently instead of a big rush of sugar and then a big drop of sugar, too.
Yeah.
If your listeners get a chance, they can check out my website, which I'm sure we'll talk about soon. I just wrote an article just getting into our golf season down here in Arizona on how to be prepared. And really, that's the key word, is preparation.
Yeah.
But showing up at a golf course and not having a thing in your bag is absolutely ridiculous. I've probably done it twice in the last 5 years, and I've been so mad at myself because I think, oh, my gosh, I'm so hungry. But you really do have to be prepared. You have to get, whether you're at a private course or not and they don't want you to, if they aren't going to supply you on that beverage cart with something healthy, then you have no choice but to take your own goodies.
Oh, I know, and they have, and those carts that drive around mostly have candy bars, and that's not going to help.
You know, there was
occasionally the power bars or the, you know, those energy bars, but those
not even those for many.
Yeah,
I would say the peanuts, nuts, because it won't spike the blood sugar.
Right.
I usually have some Planters peanuts there. They certainly aren't great.
Yeah.
But if it's a hotter climate, they're probably salted.
But then people take that bag, right, that little ounce and a half bag, and they just go whoop. And they,
and it's gone.
It wasn't like, oh, I'm still hungry. No. You just have a nut. Just take your time.
You need to ration it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you know, having a handful and putting it back in your bag and then, you know, walking to the next, hopefully they're walking. They're supposed to be walking. I mean, walking to the next shot and maybe having, what I like to do is I like to eat before I go to the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teeing off at 7 a.m. or heck, even 6:30 this summer. That's a little early for me to eat, but by hole two, I'm eating a bar because I'm hungry. Because I just haven't started my day yet as far as digestion. But I would say not to go more than three holes without putting something in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean each time you eat a whole bar, but even just a bite, and then you go on to your next shot.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with water. You know, if you tee off, take a swig of water. You know, middle of the fairway, take a swig of water. On the green, take a swig of water. Go to the next hole.
Okay, I'll admit it. Actually, at the turn, I've added something to my diet. At the turn, as I've also been bringing a banana with me, and that'll take three holes to eat the banana too.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I'll just take
my time. That does have a high sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it may affect some people differently than others. You know, so say you had your banana, and maybe you have it on the first hole. If by the third hole you're starting to get a little shaky, then your body's already looking for something else to eat.
Yeah.
So the glycemic index of a banana is pretty high. So a banana with, again, a handful of nuts would pretty, I call it neutralize it, would kind of bring it down a little bit so it lasts longer. But if you don't have a problem and you've never seen a difference, you know, with that, then heck, your body was ready for it at the turn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had one of my clients, actually he played the mini tour. He was a gateway player about 4 years ago. That was eating zone bars. Now, I don't know if you know much about zone bars, but
it
kind of goes with the ignorance of America. We read the wrappers, we read the front of the wrappers, and we read the signs, and we think, oh, good, this is perfect. But a very high glycemic index, which means there's very little protein, there's very little fiber to stop the digestion of the bar. So he was getting shaky, and he'd go out to a gateway tour event, and I don't know if you know much about many tour players, but they're paying to be on the tour. So therefore, not only are they paying to be on a tour, they're hoping to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to really think about what they're doing. But he would just be shaking and shaking and shaking. So we had it down to a science where we lined up in the front of the golf cart. They play with golf carts here because of the summertime tournaments. A cheese stick, nuts, a half of a Zone bar. He wasn't allowed to eat the whole thing, but he really liked the Zone bars. And then he would just go back and forth with that. Cheese stick, and maybe an apple because it has more fiber.
Okay.
But anything that's more natural, more to earth, more that's not processed
right.
is what we're trying to get people to have, trail mix.
We had Susan Hill on the show not long ago, and she said her favorite food was peanut butter pretzels.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. I found them, too. I mean, I went looking, and peanut butter pretzels, because it's got almost everything combined in one little bite.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's great, because you got a little fat, you got a little protein, you got a little sugar.
There you go.
Heck, and you have salt, so that's even better.
And you have the salt, too. Right. Now, we're not saying that golf is an aerobic sport, but walking is good for you, and it's a 4 or 5 mile walk. That's a great thing that you can do. I mean, because you know, doctors tell you if you get a 30 to 40 minute walk in every day, that's great exercise. That helps.
Right.
But when you're warming up for your round of golf and you're doing some stretching and stuff, do you need to get yourself up to a sweat? How do you need to warm up for golf with golf stretches, or how much stretching and warming up, not hitting balls, but stretching your body and your back and your hips and things like that? How much do you need to do for that before a round of golf?
I'm going to take the approach that it depends on the golfer. Now, many would say it's just a blanket, oh gosh, you definitely have to be very flexible and you have to be stretched, you have to stretch before, you know, especially in the morning when you wake up. But if you're a flexible person already and you're almost hypermobile, you may not need to stretch at all because it really could mess up your swing. So it kind of depends on who you are. On the safe side, going with most of America and not talking about the pros, that most amateurs, I would say that, you know, right when you're talking to your buddies at the driving range, you know, take a golf club and do a series of dynamic stretches. You don't need to sit on the ground and try to get your legs in a split or anything like that, but you need to get some blood flowing and emulating the golf swing, even though the two or three clubs I've seen people grab for weight. But you definitely need to get some stretches going. Even the first tee, same thing. You're waiting for the people in front of you to tee off. You know, grab a club. Do some motions with your spine that you'll be doing for the next at least 72 times, chances are.
I'm so glad that you mentioned having to do dynamic stretches, not only before, but during your round of golf. If you could please give us one or two so that we know what you're talking about, and I will do it along with you while you're saying it.
Okay, so you want me to describe a couple dynamic stretches?
If you could.
I golfed yesterday, so let me think. Okay. If you have your golf club.
I do.
You're going to hold your left hand on the hosel.
Now, what does that mean?
which is down there by the club head.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hold your right hand on the grip. So you're holding it right out in front of you.
Okay, so with palms down?
Palms down, and it's parallel to the floor.
Okay, good.
And all I'm going to have you do, instead of doing a golf swing, or more like a Ferris wheel, I'm going to have you be a merry-go-round. And you're going to go right and left.
Okay.
Now, to warm, keeping your chest high, keeping your chin up, as if someone's pulling the top of your head to the sky. You're going to try to lift through your spine, because if you were walking on the golf course, or you're getting ready to walk on the golf course, you compress your spine, which can lead to back pain. So keep rotating, inhale one direction, exhale the other.
And this is not a jerky motion, this is a slow...
Right, very symmetrical, symmetrical. So if you're a right-handed golfer, don't go slow to the right and then fast to the left.
It's not like a golf swing, yeah.
Exactly. So just, and then you can lift up one heel and then the other. So if you're rotating to the right, go ahead and lift up that left heel and see how far you can turn around. I
mean, so the opposite heel, the opposite foot gets lifted from the direction you're turning.
Yes.
Okay.
and you should be able to go 180 degrees. You should be able to go from the golf club being parallel in the front of your body to parallel in the back of your body.
And if you can't?
Then, well, I'm saying you can do that if you lift up your trail heel.
If you can't,
then it could be quad tightness,
mm-hmm.
hip tightness, could be your lats on the side, could be your left obliques if you're turning to the right, could be your shoulder turn isn't as far. So you really want all of those working together. That's what incorporates club head speed, and you want to keep your club head speed up, right? So you want all those body parts working together.
Okay.
Your hips.
Very good.
Torso, your arms to the club.
Very good. Also, you have, when you sign up for your emails, you send out videos that you have on various websites, including tees2greens.com, and it's the number two, tees2greens.com. Your video instruction on your exercises can be found there, right?
Yes, and there is actually one of them on tees2greens and on my website, Fit for Golf USA, that is titled Merry-Go-Round, which is the one I just
Excellent.
Told you about.
Okay, very good. All right, and your website, again, is fitforgolfusa.com, and it is not the number four. It is the word, F-O-R.
Exactly.
Fit, F-I-T, forgolfusa.com. Good. And, all right, so let me ask you, is, like, lower back pain associated that golfers experience, is that associated with tight hamstrings often, or... Where does that come from, or is it just from the
swing? It comes
in
with a low back problem to me. First of all, have them try to touch the toes.
Mm-hmm.
If they can touch their toes, then their hamstrings are not tight. Okay. If they can't, it could be a cause that their hamstrings are tight. Also, I look at their hip flexors and they're tight in the front of the body, which go across the hips.
Mm-hmm.
That could also be tight. The other part of it is that their hips may not be as mobile as they need to be. People who have tight hips will try to rotate in their low back. That's one of the number one problems with golfers. If their hips are so tight that they cannot rotate through the hips, you know, that means they have to sway or they have to slide, their lumbar spine will want to torque and turn, which will lead, more times than not, to a herniation or a bulging disc.
Interesting. Well, Mindy Boysen, you are just a wealth of information. Thank you so much for coming on to the Golf Smarter podcast and sharing your experience at the World Golf Fitness Summit, as well as talking about your website, again, fitforgolfusa.com. And you have some DVDs that you sell on your website. They're Fit for Golf, Fit for Life, and three different ones. One is golf-related, one is using the heavy ball, and the other one with the big ball, right?
Exactly, right.
Well, best of luck to you. Thanks again for coming on, and we hope we can have you back on again and talk some more about this.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it.
Hey, and you're welcome. Hey, if you didn't win our last drawing for the perfect putting machine, guess what? Dean Thompson, PGA Tour instructor and inventor of the perfect putting machine, that was featured on Golf Channels for Inventors Only, has agreed to give another one away. That's right, you have another chance to win the perfect putting machine, and it's going to give another one away, give another one of his perfect putting machines away to a lucky Golf Smarter listener. Just go to golfsmarter.com and click on the contest tab. Just go to golfsmarter.com and click on the tab labeled contest to enter and win. Deadline for entries is Friday, January 31st, 2009. And here's a taste of what Dean had to say when he was featured on the Golf Smarter podcast last month.
As far as length goes, most putters are much too long for people, I believe. If you can get a putter that's shorter for you, where your arms can hang more naturally, that they can hang in a position where they have a path to swing without your body getting in the way, you're going to improve a lot. You know, someone that is a 5'7", 5'8", individual that grabs a 35-inch putter, they're going to have a hard time getting out of their own way to be able to swing it properly.
Check out the full episode with Dean from December 2nd, 2008, and don't forget to enter and win a perfect putting machine. Make sure you click on the perfect putting machine link at the top of the contest page, too. He's got some really good videos on his website. I went to Macworld last week and got to be involved in a group discussion about podcasting, and something came up that I've been asked about so many different times from so many different people. So I thought I'd share this information with you. And it's about iTunes. You know, iTunes is really just an aggregator of podcast information. Nothing comes out of iTunes. It just goes through it. And they really don't provide any data as to how a podcast is doing or how it's received. But for the last couple of years now, the Golf Smarter podcast has been very, very lucky to be featured on their sports homepage. And frankly, I've had no idea how we got there. Well, apparently, it's about new subscriptions and reviews. So all that is to say, please make sure that you're getting the free subscription through iTunes. And while you're there, write an honest review. This is really important because, first of all, it's a great assessment as to what you think about the show, and it lets others know as well. So when they're looking through the different golf podcasts, and wow, there's almost 300 of them now, it's a great way for other people to decide what they want to check out and then hopefully stay with us throughout the entire length of the show. Craig Thompson of Richmond, British Columbia, sent us this week's closing quote, and I'm sure that many of you, I can relate to this one. It was Bernard Darwin who once said, "I have often been gratefully aware of the heroic efforts of my opponent not to laugh at me." Next week, Trip Davis, golf architect, returns to discuss his latest tribute project. If you have any quotes, comments, suggestions, or questions, or leads for sponsors, you can send me an email by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.